Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the pre-opening commodity market report. Fertilizer producer Mosaic reported a 26% jump in third quarter profits based on strong potash sales and foreign currency gains. Although potash prices have remained under pressure in recent months, demand has been better than expected, improving market fundamentals. Revenue from Mosaic's potash segment jumped 37% from a year ago. For the quarter ending February 28th, Mosaic posted a profit of $344.6 million, or 81 cents a share, versus a year earlier profit of $273.3 million, or 64 cents a share. An industry group says that China's manufacturing growth picked up in March. The China Federation of Logistics and Purchasing today says that its Purchasing Managers Index rose to 50.9 in March from 50.1 in February, which was the lowest reading in 5 months. Numbers above 50 denote expansion on 100-point scale. Chinese manufacturing is closely watched as an indicator of the strength of global consumer sales. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 14,598, is up almost 20.5 points. The NASDAQ 3266 is down about 1, and the S&P 500 is 1569, and it is up 0.3 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Soil temperatures across the Midwest will likely stay a little bit too cool for planting, and it looks like there will be an increase in precipitation as we move through next week. The majority of the region will likely need some kind of change in weather that will support a warmer and drier bias. But this week's weather will actually not be too terribly bad. We do expect to see a restricted amount of precipitation across the region, and because of that, the ground will slowly dry down. But our temperatures are going to be quite chilly here, at least initially, with afternoon temperatures limited to the 30s and 40s today and tomorrow across many areas. Some 50-degree highs will occur in the west and south tomorrow afternoon. We'll likely see them expand across a larger portion of the Midwest as we move into Wednesday and Thursday of this week. The 50 and 60 degree temperatures will probably hold off until we get into the Friday-Saturday time period. At that time, we'll likely see the biggest increase in soil temperatures, but we're also going to be faced with an increase in rainfall as we move into next week. So those producers who do put seed into the ground over these next few days will run the risk that soil temperatures will not completely reach above the minimum threshold for germination, and then will be faced with a risk of the ground becoming too wet next week. That may be a bit of a deterrent for field work for some cases. We'll likely look for somewhat better weather as we move a little deeper into April, but there is certainly an abundance of precipitation in the pipeline for next week. That storm system is actually more than one. We'll likely see two systems come across the region back-to-back next week, and those two events will likely limit the amount of drying time that will take place. We do expect to see a frontal boundary move across the Midwest here late this week, Friday into Saturday and Sunday. System will be a fairly wimpy event. It will bring some warmer air to the southern parts of the region, and most of the precipitation of significance will be in the north, running anywhere from a couple tenths of an inch upwards to maybe 3/4 inch. But after that, the frontal boundary that is lingering behind that low pressure system sets the stage for more frequent storm systems to impact the Midwest. As we move from the end of the weekend through the middle part of next week, a couple of storm systems will work their way across the Midwest, and if both verify, we'll end up with widespread precipitation over a large enough period of time that fieldwork will be on hold for quite a little while. The ground could saturate once again, and we could be faced with some local flooding from this scenario. It does look like these systems will possibly be a little bit weaker when we get closer to the actual event, and that would be certainly a welcome change, and close monitoring the situation is warranted. In the meantime, warmer weather should be working its way into the Midwest as we move in towards the middle part of the month, and we should see less frequent precipitation in some locations. But those may be famous last words, and a close monitoring of the situation is still warranted. The temperatures across the region, as I mentioned, it will be in the 30s and 40s here over the next couple of days, but we will warm up as we work a little bit later into this week. The odds are fairly good that we'll likely see temperatures close to normal next week. The low temperatures are likely to be mostly in the teens and 20s across the region here tonight and tomorrow night, and then we'll likely see readings in the 20s and 30s as we move through the second half of the week and into the weekend. I don't believe we'll see temperatures above average anytime real soon, but it could happen as we get closer to the middle part of the month. Looks like the majority of weather outside of the states is also going to be relatively slow in getting started into the spring season. This is especially true in parts of Europe and the western CIS, where temperatures are still cool there as well, and a fairly good chance for flooding across southern Europe and parts of the former Soviet Union. Outside of those two events, the only other area of news today is the wet weather that's going to be occurring across Argentina this week that will delay field work. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's look at the electronic trade on this Monday morning in Kansas City. May wheat, 722.5, down 4.25. July, 727.75, down 4.5. May wheat in Chicago, 681.75, down 6. July, 685.75, down 5.25. May corn, 665, down 30.25. July, 646, down 30. December, 539, up a half. May soybeans, 1392.75, down 12. November, 1249.5, down 2. May soybean meal, 401.60, down $3. May soybean oil, 49.65, down 46. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Doing well. When we last had trade on Friday, when we closed the markets, we were something like 16, 17, 18 cents further down in corn and the option synthetics. We've sure pushed beyond that this morning.
Yeah, we did, and we did see a pretty weak reaction again overnight. We've actually bounced things back up here a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a lot worse than it was a bit,
just
right?
Down 30, but yeah, with the expanded limits today of 60 cents, we neared them today, being down about 45 at one point here in the nearby months, and things are kind of stabilizing, if that's what you want to call it here, Dave, down around this 30-cent lower in this mid-665 area. Versus the March, so things are slowing down here a little bit, but obviously a couple days' reaction here proves that things can change pretty quickly.
Everybody's coming to the forefront saying, I'd like some corn. Japan says they want to buy corn. South Korea says they want to buy corn. Looks like all the end users are queuing up.
Yeah, I think that's something to watch here as we move forward over the next few days, exactly what kind of interest we're going to see here, what the USDA confirms here as far as export interest. Obviously up there in that $7 area or plus, we didn't see a lot of interest, although export sales have gradually been picking up a little bit here, Dave, as we continue to be in this window before Brazil's second harvest of corn comes online here as we move closer to the summer. But be interesting to watch here, but hopefully maybe we can see a little kickstart in the export program and get a little more corn moving out of the port.
And this isn't just a little bit. South Korea is looking for 1.1 million metric tons, and Japan's looking for 700,000 metric tons of feed corn. So these are not little buys either. And I would suspect that, U.S. livestock folk are also queuing up.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the end users are watching this break pretty closely to see where this thing kind of wants to kind of stall out here a little bit and see if they can get some forward coverage on, kind of waiting for something like this for a long time, as we've been kind of stuck in that range, you know, a dollar higher than this for quite some time. So we'll be watching to see how that goes and to see if we can find some support down in here and see where it goes. I think on the producer side, selling-wise, though, it's going to be pretty slow here as we go through into the planting season if we continue to see these weak prices, Dave.
A comment about soybeans?
Well, pretty quiet. More of a follower than anything. I think the acres numbers on beans was a little lower than the market expected, so maybe trying to hang the new crop in there a little bit, but bean stocks number on the negative side here versus expectations. So, you know, like corn and wheat here, I think it's going to be a pretty hard battle to try to balance this thing in the short term.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. Maycorn, 665, down 30 and a quarter, now down 30 even. July, 645 and three quarters, down 30 and a quarter. September, 557 and a quarter, down 5 and three quarters. And December, at 539 and a quarter, up three quarters, now up one. May soybeans, 1393 and a quarter, down 11 and a half. July, 1372 and a quarter, down 13 and a quarter. November, at 1250 and a quarter, down 1 and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.